Okay, the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Conference Committee will come to order for 7-2013. Who remembers where we were?
I think we were pretty much done with all the financial numbers.
We got through the spreadsheet. You know what?
We have less staff here.
You fiscal guys, you pay attention here for a second, okay? Would one of you two explain to me again the UI, the $15 million each year, exactly how it's used in both bills? Because I missed it when I was...
You mean the UI tax reduction?
There's a tax reduction, and then there's a $30 million line item, it seems to me.
$7,500,000 a year. What it is there's an account over in the deed, which is the UI contingent account. And for every year since 2002, we've taken money from it and transferred it to the general fund, or I guess one year we did the Workforce Development Fund as well. And in the governor's bill last year, he did the same thing. And somehow I think that was overlooked this year. And so the bill provides the transfer. So it'll be down in the revenue section, general fund revenue, on about the second to last page, the top one.
37.
Yep. And that's ongoing. So what the bill provides is as the money is deposited into that fund, it's transferred to the general fund.
So did either of us use it for anything other than transfer?
It became part of our target, yep.
Is it part of our target? Not part of our target, right? Okay. And did we spend it anyway? We didn't spend it anyway. Okay.
That's incredible.
So what does that mean exactly? Does that mean we got $15 million to play with in our side of the equation?
Mr. Chairman, it might mean that. It depends what the target number is.
But they've kind of already used it for their budget, right? And we haven't?
Well, that's part of the reason why you see such a big difference between the net general fund impact of the bills. Part of that is spending and the other part is revenue. And that reflects the revenue differences between the two.
I got to use for a part of it.
And this is after all those millions and millions, hundreds of millions of savings that we're coming up with by the reduction in the rate, right?
This is actually, what it's for is a contingency fund that's appropriated the commission administration.
Let me restate the question. So this is after the Democrats put a bill in that saved business hundreds of millions of dollars on their UI rates? Is that
$346
million? Okay, all right. Just want to make sure I got that right. Okay.
Pays it?
Huh?
Pays it?
You do.
Business.
Yes, but we're saving
men and women,
you.
And we're saving them. But think about we're saving them $346 million.
I call it $346 million.
There you go.
$346 million
tax. Okay, who wants to start running through side by side in language as far as
Mr. Chair and members of the conference committee? We were getting close to being done with Article 2, which is the Dolly language and the always fascinating side-by-side walkthrough. So I think we left off on
all
page...
All because of your personality.
Yeah. Yeah. R22
that was a compliment. No, that was
of
a compliment.
Article 2.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, and what I would just say as far as back further in... What I had just finished with were the new licensing structure for elevator licensing. And what you'll see if you kind of go back up to page R2, Senate File 656, which is a Department of Labor and Industry housekeeping bill, it is currently sitting in the Economic Development Finance Division, but it was heard in Jobs, and it's virtually the same. There are a couple of differences. Ms. Newman and Ms. Mullen and Mr. Pender and I put together a same and similar document, but so I'm just going to kind of read off of here. There, in sections 35 and 36, let's see which pages those are on.
And do we have copies of those
same and similars? 25. Well, I have a copy of Senate File 656.
Oh, no. Do we have a copy of the same?
No. Mr. Sandy is making copies of that right now for the committee. Right. And that's for purposes if we want to start adopting.
Okay.
However, on page, Ms. Newman, what is, I'm sorry, you said.
R25 of Article 2. Section 34, you were going to start with, right?
Mr. Sadman.
It's the same.
R34. Actually, Mr. Chair and members, it's on page R28. There is section 35 on the House side. I think there were just a couple of words on 43.21 was changed to an individual in the Senate, or maybe changed back to a person. I don't know. If, well, we're on. I'm on line 43.21 on the House on R28, and then on line 43.22, instead of "and included," there's an "or" there. And I'm not sure if someone is here from the department that has a preference on that section.
Okay, so I'm just a tad confused because, okay, so Senate File 656, has that passed the Senate?
Mr. Chair, no, that's why the reviser, when they put this together, they can't put something in here that hasn't passed off of the Senate floor. But it's referring to Senate File 656, which was heard in the Jobs Policy Committee. And I have a copy here, and I looked at both bills, and they're almost exactly the same with a few words that
so
are
what,
different.
So what we're intimating here is that because Senate File 656 is virtually the same as what
we could
the,
take
House
the House
language is,
yes.
Is that it would be okay to take the House language even though we don't have it in the Senate bill?
That's correct.
Okay.
But I think we do need to make a couple of changes.
Mm-hmm. One that you mentioned, and then there's some language at the bottom of the line 25 and 26 that this should be a little different.
Yes, and actually I think do we have the side by sides still aren't containing some of the language maybe that
and we're basically considering these same or similars, right?
Right. Mr. Chairs, we have a list of all the sames and similars, so depending on how you want to proceed, if you'd rather work off that list or go through the side-by-side, it doesn't matter. It's up to you.
Well, let's keep going through the side-by-side, but once we get through the side-by-side, I think it's easier to adopt the same consent after we know what we're talking about.
Okay, so Mr. Chair and members, on R29, Section 36 of the House, there were a few changes made on that new language on the bottom, and it was mostly just again, stylistic, sort of adding some clause numbers and trying to just kind of reorder the language a little bit. And
Let me ask you this then: are these little changes that you're talking about, are they in any way significant, or can we just say the House language is good enough and we don't have to worry about the little changes?
I would think that they're not substantive changes. I think they're mostly grammatical or stylistic.
Okay, then, in that case, why don't we just get past this and go to the next one?
Okay. So, I think I already discussed the fire, Mr. Chair, I already discussed the single-family dwelling fire sprinklers, the Senate. That was a Senate-only provision.
Which page?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair members. We're back on, that was R3.
Way back in R3. Okay. All right.
And we already that was the fire sprinkler provision. That was a Senate only. I think we can continue on now since we went through the license, elevator license piece and the one of the Dolly housekeeping bills. We can continue to page 20, starts the yes, page R22.
Backwards.
We have some, Mr. Chair members, we have some provisions that were in the governor's bill, and this is on page R22, section 31, and section 23 on the Senate side. This is the same utility interconnected wind generation installations. The language is the same. Then we go to R24. We have a couple more sections on the removal of the accelerated review option. On R25, we've got a new plumbing fee structure. This is also from the governor's bill, all the same through R27. And then we already discussed R28 with Senate File 656. We already discussed R29 and R30. R31, we already discussed, 32, 33. On R34, we have more fee schedule, the combative sports fee schedule. That's from the governor's bill. And on R35, we have a few provisions that we don't have in the House. I think there was a bill, but it was never heard in the Senate. Do you want it?
Mr. Chair and members, on page R35, Section 44 is House language. It's in here as an apprenticeship program. It's a cooperative effort between the Department of Labor and Industry and MNSCU to provide apprenticeships for manufacturing jobs. I believe this is an evolving program so that there may be language coming in to change some of this. And that would go through page R.
And is that a cost item or no?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Does it cost any money?
There is an appropriation for this, yes. That goes through page R39. And then on R39, the repealer sections are repealing the same sections. They're dealing with elevators in the electrical code. The House has also got a repeal of some continuing ed requirements for boiler engineers, and then the rule language on lines 53.14 and 152 of the Senate that deals with rules regarding the elevators, and that all is moving the elevator stuff from the electrical code to its own section.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Honig.
I was looking at this last night, and as I look at this, in the House language, 53.13, it's just a little bit more. So what's the repealer on 326B978?
That's the boiler engineers continuing education is what my
note House
says.
And the Senate does not have that. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And then you may as well go down to line 53, 14, and 15 on the House side. That's a little bit different than what the Senate has to.
Mr. Chair and members, these the House language are at the elevator rules out of House File 678. And the Senate repeals the whole rule. We repealed just parts of them. And I think the House language was taken from the Department of Labor and Industry, so I don't know what the difference would be in why.
Can somebody from the department explain the difference in which is preferable? Is somebody here? Labor and Industry? Are you following it along?
I think I'm with you.
All right, go on page R39 and tell us the difference between the repealer in the House and the Senate. On the House side, it's 53.14 and 53.15. And on the Senate side, it's line 152.33.
Mr. Chairman, members, I need to look at it again because I don't have it right in front of me. I do know that the difference between this repealer and 1307 on the Senate side, that the reason that we need to make sure that the repealer on this piece of it is effective December 31st, 2013, is because...
Try the middle one.
Maybe I move my phone over here. Is because the provision to change the elevator construction inspection fee system, unlike in the House version, was moved to an effective date of January 1, 2014.
Okay, well.
So that's where the date's different. But the actual substantive difference between the two, I need to check on it and get right back to you.
Okay. All right, that
okay.
works. Okay. Ms. Newman, her. Well.
Mr. Chair, it would continue with Article 3 then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the first section, the Senate does not have a provision, but there was a bill. It was not heard in the Senate. Ms. Newman.
Mr. Chair, it's the cost of living study. That was actually a Representative Mahoney bill, and it requires an annual study that's based on county data, and there is an appropriation for this in the bill as well. And then the next part, Section 2 of the House and Section 1 of the Senate, is the labor market information study at the Department of Employment and Economic Development. These are similar provisions, but not identical. So that will need some discussion on the differences. On page R3, the Section 3 of the House and Section 2 of the Senate, this is the Minnesota Investment Fund. Both the House and the Senate have the governor's language to add loans, forgivable loans, to the program. The House language has the addition to allow development authorities as eligible applicants for the state-funded portion. So that is a difference in those programs. Section 4 of the House and Section 3 of the Senate from Senate File 1607, I believe, are similar but not identical provisions.
Section 7, Mr. Chair, Section 7 and Section 4?
Section 4 of the House and Section 3 of the Senate. It's the myth. The House includes references to the development authorities, which the House added in the previous section, and I don't know if the Senate has any language in that other bill on that.
No, Mr. Chair, we do not have anything on the development authorities. So the language contains information on the development authorities, then it would be the House on R4, Section 5. And then Section 6 looks like it also contains information or regarding development authorities. That's R4 and R5 and R6. And then on R6 and then over to R7 and continuing on, it's Section 7 on the House side and Section...
Well, do we know the reason why there's nothing in the Senate side?
Mr. Chair, members, I don't think we ever discussed expanding it to develop it. It's right now it's to local government units, but does not specifically mention development authorities. So right now the MIF program, it just doesn't mention the development authorities, and I don't recall that being discussed in the Senate. So on the bottom of R6, then there are just a couple of differences in this. And this is the Minnesota Job Creation Fund. This is creating a new statutory section for this Job Creation Fund. And there were a couple of changes that I worked with Deed on, and that's on R7, line 155.16 to 155.18, and this includes also the purchase and installation of equipment and machinery. So it expands the definition of capital investment a bit. Then on R8, there are a few differences here. On 156.22 and 156.23, and then on the corresponding lines, 59.27 on the House side and 59.28. The House put in some time frames, depending on where the project was located or if it was a remodeled facility, and then on line 156.26 and on the Senate side and 59.31, there are some differences. This was also something I worked with got some language from Deed regarding the capital investment inclusion and then the retention of 200 employees. On the House side, you'll see it's retaining at least 50 employees, so there's a difference there. And then on page R9, there are some differences between the House and Senate. You'll see on the House side on line 60.36, there it's a qualified Minnesota Job Creation Fund business can be certified eligible for 5 years for projects in the metro area and then for 7 years for projects located outside of the metro area. And the Senate does not have that. It's just any project, metro or outstate, is eligible for 5 years. And then also on the House side, line 61.7 and 61.8, it has some differences for projects located outside of the metro. 5% rebate for projects in the metro and 7.5% for projects located outside the metropolitan area. And the Senate did not have those differences. Continuing over to page R10, there are still a few more differences between the House and Senate and for the Job Creation Fund. And again, on line 61.16, you'll see that the House has it at 50 retained employees, and the Senate has on 158.7 is 200 retained employees. And then there's some additional language underneath. This, again, goes to the capital investment expenditures for purchases of machinery and equipment, and that was just on the Senate side. Then on line 61.26 to 28, and then on the line corresponding lines 158.20 to 21 on the Senate side, it is also referencing the retention of 200 jobs, and that it's different from the House. On line 62.6 to 62.9 on R10, and then 158.34 to 159.1. It's a little bit different in that how the commissioner determines if there's reasonable progress being made toward the goals of the program. It's just a little wording difference that I can see. So we'll have to look at that. And then on page R11, the Senate on 159.25 has exempts this new fund from rulemaking, and the House does not contain that. I believe they maybe removed that so they wouldn't have to make a stop, but I'm not 100% sure. So the Senate language contains that provision. On page R11.
If you have a question.
I just want to make a little statement. I think this rulemaking thing, we did not want to give the department an exemption rulemaking forever. We thought that was a little onerous, so we changed it, and with agreement with them at the end, I think this is what we wanted to do. The governor wanted to stay this way it is, so we kind of picked a middle ground. So I thought it was very necessary for us to do that.
One of my concerns with not exempting them from the rulemaking, and we've had this conversation, so it's the committee actually needs to think about it and maybe have the department give us an answer at some point. How long will it take them to put these make rules so that this job creation fund can actually be used? We were kind of torn, so we just took it out in the House. I think it'll take them up to a year to 18 months to get the rules put in place, even under an expedited situation. And if we exempt them, how long are we exempting them from? Is it forever from this? So something we'll have to talk about and decide.
Mr. Chairman, I was ready.
The bills are pretty prescriptive. Do we need rules? We'll discuss that too, I guess. Anyway, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing on the bottom of page R11, there is a new trade policy advisory group being established in statute, and I'm not 100% sure what happened in the House. However, in the Senate, I know that the version that we're carrying in here is the third engrossment of the bill, and it went through quite a few changes, and so I'm not sure, but I do know that it was changed quite a bit, but I can discuss the differences if that works. There, on line 63.2 to 63.3, and then on one line 159.30 on the Senate side. I know that there was an amendment done that they wanted to change it to, the at least in the Senate side, regarding United States trade agreements, instead of this regarding government procurement agreements of the United States trade agreements that's on the House side, but I'm not 100% sure. And then it looks like there's a little difference in the membership. The House has 12 members and the Senate has 14 members. I think the difference, if I'm kind of went through this quickly, but it looks like on 159.34 that the Commissioner of Agriculture or designee is one of the additions. And then it looks like the other addition is, I think, in the Senate side on 63.8 and 160, and this is on R12, on 160.9, there's an additional representative from one of the farming organization, and it looks like there's only one. I'm not sure if there are two farmers unions. Maybe they each wanted one. If I'm not mistaken. So that's the difference on the membership. Then on R12, I think that the Senate just kind of put some more with the subdivisions. They on subdivision 3 on 160.19 talks about the terms. I don't think there's too much difference there. There are many corresponding provisions. It's just arranged a little differently. The on 63.29 and 30, and then over on subdivision 6, it talks about the chair. I think that's the same. I believe that 63.31 and then 160.32, it talks about they serve without compensation. I just think that the Senate maybe just kind of laid it out a little differently to clarify so you could get to the provisions easier. Then let's see if there's a few difference. Then on 63.34 and 35, and then corresponding 160.35, it again is that reference to relating to procurement agreements of United States trade agreements, and they did the relating to United States trade agreements. Where is that again? This is on the bottom of R12. It's 63.35, and then on the Senate side, it's 160.35 and 36. And it was an amendment that was done at the last stop in the Senate committee to clean it up. It reads on 63.35 to government procurement agreements of United States trade agreements, and I believe they just want it relating to United States trade agreements.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, you may recall the House went back to the original bill mostly on a fiscal note issue because the bill did go through other committees in the House and was changed substantially, but the fiscal note also increased fairly substantially. So the House language is the bill in its original form, which had a significantly lower cost.
With that said, Mr. Chair, I'll continue it. It does look like on R13, they're on 64.16. There's the reporting requirement. It looks like on the Senate side, 161.16 and 17. They're requiring some draft legislation to implement recommendations in 160.25 subdivision 5. They're talking about initial appointments in first meeting. And in the Senate side, they do provide a sunset that the council will sunset on January 1st, 2020. That's 161.18. If there are no questions on that program or that provision, I will continue to on R13, Section 9 in the House and Section 6 in the Senate. Again, it looks like the Senate kind of fleshed out the trade offices and foreign markets, and I am not sure if this is something that was necessary, but perhaps the Deed would have an opinion, but it looks like they just kind of on the Senate side made an establishment subdivision, some duties, subdivision 3 discretionary powers, and then continuing to R14, it's on 161.33, talks about some staff. Subdivision 5 talks about accountability, and it talks about some reporting requirements on 162.6 in paragraph B. So I don't know if there's any opinion on that, but they're a little bit different, organized a little differently. On page R14, section 10 and section 7, these are the STEP grants. This is a state trade and export promotion grants program. And these provisions came from the governor's bill. They're the same. It looks like continuing down through R15, well, section 12 and section 9 are the same. These are both came from the bill on the workforce center credential assistance. And on R15, section 13 and section 10, this is the film production jobs program. And there were a couple of differences. If you go to page R16, on lines 66.34 to 36 on the House side and 164.18 to 164.21. The House deletes that the $5 million production costs are in the metropolitan area only, and then the Senate has a minimum Minnesota expenditure of $1 million for that 25% reimbursement. And then on line 66.35 and 164.20 on the Senate side, it discusses the less than $1 million in Minnesota production costs in the metropolitan area for the 20% reimbursement. So that's the difference between the House and Senate on the Film Production Jobs Program. On R16, down to R17, there's another section that's the same from the labor market industry bill. And then we have some provisions that are also the same on R17, sections 15 and section 12 on the Senate side. This R18, this is all the same. This was a bill on persons with mental illness, the employment support services. So R18 is the same. R19, those are the sections are the same. Continuing to R20, then we have some House-only provisions.
Mr. Chair, Section 18 on the House was an amendment added to a bill in committee, and this would authorize the Dakota County Community Development Agency to be treated as like a general-purpose local government unit for the purposes of MIF. Section 19 is a provision that's employment supports for persons that are on the autism spectrum, and that is a pilot project in Olmsted County, and that runs from R20 through R21 on to R22. And then there's Senate language that the House does not have.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, Section 16, it relates to some provisions that both the House and Senate have. This is for the pilot programs, combining career and higher education advising. And the Senate lays out that the pilots will be in four workforce service areas, and it names the four workforce areas, and the House does not contain that pilot provision for those workforce service areas. There are no questions on that article. We can continue on.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I might have a question on that CDA, which I changed the name of that a few years ago, and I'm quite familiar with it. And nobody talked to me about it. Who can tell me
what page?
I'm on page 20, section 18. I just maybe just a little.
2021.
Our page 20, the Dakota County Community Development Agency, which it's probably all right, but I'm just kind of more thinking that being a senior statesman from Dakota County, I didn't hear about this, so that's my only question.
Senator Metzen? That was brought to me by Dakota County, and all it's trying to do is at this particular time they have a development agency and they also have, you know, their county board. They're one and the same. So when their county, their development agency takes a position or a vote, they have to send it to the county commissioners, which is the same group of people, and have a second vote. And what they're trying to do, and I don't know that they didn't, I'm surprised they didn't come to you.
But that's probably, it's probably fine. I just.
Yeah, but they should.
I'm so hurt. I'm so hurt that it didn't.
I would understand that, Senator.
But I'll be all right.
I'm sure Dakota County will come and have a conversation with you, though.
Where are they? Are they out here?
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzen, that provision was in Senate File 943, a bill that I carried that's actually sitting up on the Senate floor. So that language was a part of that bigger Minnesota Investment Fund.
And you didn't tell me about it either.
Sorry.
I guess you'll have to go talk to him, too.
We got to go out. Okay, that's good.
I'd feel hurt if I were.
Yeah.
But then again, Senator Metzen, maybe this is a piece of legislation. Someone was just doing you a favor by not bringing it to your attention.
So you
had that much less to do.
It was hard to explain in committee, so we're trying to make you.
And I couldn't handle, Mr. Chairman. I probably couldn't handle the explanation.
You could have, but you know.
Try to help you out.
Nothing wrong with having a little bit
lighter
workload.
They gave it to lesser people.
Yeah, okay.
I feel better.
So what's the Senate file, Senator Spires?
Senate file 943, I believe, Mr. Chairman.
So is this similar to Senate file 656, that its language is similar and it's not in the
bill
and everything?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's true. This was Senator Sparks' bill 943. It was on the second reading on the floor, and it was heard in the Jobs Committee on March 4th. But it's not been heard on the floor.
Good reporting. Okay. All right. Are we starting Article 4 now? Or any more questions on Article 3? Questions on Article 4, then?
Article 4 is the unemployment insurance article, and the House and Senate language are almost identical with a couple of pretty notable differences. And as you crawl, this is the shared work and the climb are the identical pieces. The differences on page R4 is the House language, which provides unemployment benefits to workers who are out of work as a result of a lockout.
That's not that significant.
And that's Section 5 and Section 6 and Section 7, R4 to R5 and through R6.
I was wondering what you meant by very the, almost the same, except for some very notable.
and notable is in the eye of the beholder. Yeah,
it's the same. And then, Mr. Chair and members, on page R10, the House has the contingent account language where the money is transferred to the general fund, and that would be a permanent statutory change.
So R6, R7, R8, and R9 are all the same?
Mr. Chair, R6 from 78.11 on the House and 9.8 on the Senate, so Section 9 and Section 9 of the House and Section 5 of the Senate, that language is pretty much identical. And that's through page R9 to the top of R10. And I believe Deed does have some technical amendments. There's a little bit of wording changes that they'd like to have made before this is finished. On R10, Section 16, again, is the contingent account transfer. Section 17 of the House and Section 8 of the Senate on that page is the same language. Page R11, Section 19 of the House and Section 15 of the Senate is the unemployment insurance tax rate reduction. And, Mr. Chair, on R11, the section date changes.
Mr. Chair, members, that's just it. We had two articles, and you only had one, and so one goes with the one article.
Mr. Chairman, balance the unemployment insurance trust fund. Last Friday was 700
$1 million. It's like that reduction will this fall.
A few months ahead of schedule, too, if I remember right. Great management by deed, right? You may as well continue.
Mr. Chair and members, Article 5 of the House and is in Article 8 of the Senate, which starts on page R1, is the miscellaneous article. Section 1 of the Senate is the Made in Minnesota.
This is a Senate-only provision that was added in division.
And the House does not have that language. And we can go through a bunch of these sections now really quick. On the House side, sections 1 through 16, and on the Senate side, sections 1 through 16, which is, gets us all the way from page R1 to R8, our barber board language, and that is the same. On R8, sections 17 and 18 of the House and 17 and 18 of the Senate are the same, except the Senate specifies that misrepresentation and illegally displaying a barber pole are petty misdemeanors, and the House is silent on the level of the penalty in this section. The cosmetology board starts on the bottom of page R8, and the Senate and the House have very, very similar language for the bulk of the cosmetology section, which takes us to page R13. There are slight differences on R11 about license or the number of hours for the schools and everything. So on R11, House language 93.27 through 93.33, and Senate language 4512 through 4516 are same concept but somewhat different, more or less language regarding the required number of school hours for a current license.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Timoney.
And maybe it's for a different time, but I think there was a request by the board to put in continuing education. It's not in either bill, is it, at this time?
Well, Mr. Chair, there is a Senator or Representative Slocum has a bill that passed off of the House floor, I think, last week that deals with that, but that's a separate bill.
Mr. Chair, members, I do have a technical amendment that some language appeared in the Senate state government bill, and that contains the continuing education provisions. Yep. And when the side-by-side was put together, it was inadvertently left out. So I believe that I have that prepared, and that would put those continuing education requirements in the bill.
Okay.
Four hours.
It's like the over 55 driving course.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair and members, and I'm going to skip to page R15 where the R14 is where there are some differences in House and Senate language.
Well, we got the Office of Collaboration.
Oh, Mr. Chair and members, then on R14, section 3 on the Senate side, that's on line 170.6. This is a Senate-only provision dealing with the IRRB. Then on R15, Section 4, there is also some Senate-only language for the Hockey Hall of Fame in Eveleth.
Mr. Chair and members, going back to R13, I forgot. The House has Section 29, which is the Office of Collaboration and Dispute Resolution, and that's in the Bureau of Mediation Services. There is an appropriation for that as well.
Piece of legislation, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Page, beginning on our 15 through our 22 is the accountancy board changes. And I believe There are, those are the same with sort of minor stylistic differences between the two bills that are not substantive.
Mahoney?
On R-17, I don't quite understand the board at top of the page, 97.30 and 49.23, there's a difference, and we'll have to figure that out. The board shall charge, and the board shall annually establish. Is that the stylistic difference you were talking about?
Mr. Chair, I think we would regard those as stylistic difference. The not to exceed would, on the Senate side, would imply that if the board wanted to charge something less, they could, where on the House side, the fees are the fees.
Well, if, Mr. Chair, if they charge something less, would that change the spreadsheet?
Mr. Chair and members, this is kind of goes to that question of only the legislature can establish the fees, and at least I think on the House side, the interpretation was the fee has to be a fixed amount. In statute, the discretion isn't allowed, because otherwise there's a fiscal note change for part of it. If, for example, they would charge fewer fees, then the fiscal note for this provision would change.
And I got a funny feeling, I'm not sure, that the intent is on the Senate side to mean the same as on the House side. It just is stylistically different, so it could be interpreted to be they may reduce the fees. And I'm not sure that that was the intent. Anybody know whose bill this is? Is it mine?
Yes. I think it was Representative Gunther's bill.
First, okay.
In the House, anyhow.
Rest. Mr. Chairman, it was Senator Rest.
Senator Rest. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Johnson.
I just kind of FYI, I do have an amendment drafted to the House language, policy language, that goes in on R-22. Line after line 102.32 that deals with park dedication fees for Minneapolis and St. Paul, and also some developers' language that apparently the Senate is agreeable to, but whenever the timing is right.
Probably not today, but we'll get to it.
Very good.
Okay. I don't think today. Depends how far we get, I guess. So we'll see.
Do you think we're in the session at 3?
Yes, we do.
But, this is pretty important stuff.
Yes, and you're in session, right?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, we get there.
You have remote control buttons. We don't, so.
No, we all press our own buttons over there.
We both been there.
I would love to have remote control buttons. Anyway, okay, go ahead.
We'll
where
continue.
Are we?
We're on page R-22. The repealer on Section 37 of the House and 38 of the Senate is the repeal of the Science and Technology Authority. It's the same, except that the Senate specifies the repealer's effective the day following final enactment, and the House just goes with the July 1st default date of the bill's effectiveness. And page R-23 is the where did that go? The repealer section. And Mr. Chair, members, and this, again, is one of those stylistic differences. I think the repealers are the same. The House just has them in one clump, and the Senate separates them out in different paragraphs.
I believe that's true. And Mr. Chair, there is one more provision on R-23. That's the Section 9 on the Senate side. This is for the 2013 distribution.
We might have a few more projects that we need to add.
Oh, and then, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, we continue over to R-24. We have Section 10, and this is the St. Paul River Center partial loan forgiveness. And I believe there is a section on the House side, but I think it's in a different article.
It's gone. That's
I'm sorry. There's no.
There is no article?
No. I mean the Senate Section 10, the St. Paul River Center loan partial loan forgiveness. I thought there was a provision on the House somewhere else, but there isn't. So this is a Senate-only provision.
So the range is carrying St. Paul's water again? Is that what's going on here?
We seem to do a lot of that between the two of us.
Yes,
sir.
We do. Representative Gunther. staying out of that one.
Just want a piece of the action.
and you're with your friends.
You stick with your friends.
And Mr. Metzen,
I'll be there.
We got the river. He's looking.
Do we need to go?
Yeah.
On to the next article, Article 6.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, this is the appropriations for commerce and energy, or commerce and consumer protection, on the House side. So a lot of this rider language the fiscal analyst gentleman went through, but I believe, Mr. Pender, there are a few riders that are different if we want to go through those, and I think there's also some statutory language that we can go through that's different from the House and Senate.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Tom Pender from the House Research Department. And the riders that are significantly different, I guess, is on page R3. The House allocates $25,000 each year for newspaper advertising directed at people who may own unclaimed property. This would be part of the state's program for returning unclaimed property to people. And then there are fees for the weights and measures unit are increased. This, again, is on page R3 in the right-hand column. And the Senate on the right-hand side there has a an appropriation for additional unclaimed property compliance efforts.
Just a second, Mr. Pender. I'm being told that people are having trouble hearing. Can you hear Mr. Pender, or is it just me and Representative Mahoney you can't hear? Or is it everybody? Somebody give me an indication. Everybody should get closer to the mics. Okay, get closer to the mics, I guess, so everybody can hear. Okay. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Pender.
Okay, moving along to page R4, both House and Senate have appropriations for telecommunications access for the deaf, blind, and hard of hearing. House on page R4, line starting in line 105.30, there is general fund amount for establishing the regulation of gold bullion dealers, and there's a bill involving that is in the House Rules Committee right now, and this would be funding to establish that regulation, assuming that the bill itself passes.
And Mr. Chair, the Senate also has a bill on this as well. And then I think what the House does is uses a general fund, and the Senate in this bill does, in the bullion coin dealer bill, creates a special revenue fund that the registration for the coin dealers would go into the special revenue fund. I think that's the way it's funded in the Senate.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, that's correct. I was involved in this, and we pay for it on a sliding fee scale to the people that are in this business. And we heard from them, and they seem to object too much on that. So we do pay for it in a different fashion, and not use the general fund for this purpose. But there is a gold bill that Senator Sieben brought forward.
Then, Mr. Chair, there's also one other Senate-only rider here, and it's the Weatherization Assistance Program, $2 million. To that program under the Energy Resources Subdivision.
And just for the House's information, this one was brought to us because of the fact that as a result of sequestration at the federal level, it appears that the weatherization program was in need of some money. We're trying to help out with that. So go ahead, Ms.
At the bottom of page R5 on the House side, there are appropriations for gambling control then the Racing Commission, and going over onto the next page, the state lottery, and there are no equivalent Senate appropriations.
We don't have those. We don't have those in our committee. They're over in state government.
Yeah, and in the Senate, they're also being carried in the state government bill. I spoke with the fiscal analyst for the state government.
So we won't be carrying.
Racing Commission.
Aren't we carrying?
Anything that has to do with the lottery, the Racing Commission.
Gambling control.
What if we want to? We may want to add some stuff. You never know.
Mr. Chair, that's why we purposely took it out of here.
Sure.
Now, the more I go away from some of these particular issues, probably the better all of us will be.
Or if you'd start listening to me, you'll probably get better off. Okay, who's next?
Mr. Chair, in House Section 8, Senate Section 6, both bodies make appropriations for the Upper Minnesota Film Office. And then at the bottom of page R7, there's a House appropriation for problem gambling. As far as I know, it's not matched or is not dealt with in the Senate. At page R8, we have Senate language dealing with the auto theft prevention program that starts at the top of page R8 and goes down to the middle of page R9, and this is something that the House has dealt with in a different bill.
Just out of curiosity on that particular, the auto theft prevention program has always been one that I've been wondering what we do with the money. Because I know after we pay the 50 cents for our cars on our insurance policies, that then it goes into the fund at the Commerce Department, and they teach people to lock their doors and take the keys out of their cars so that they don't get their car stolen. And then I think there's about three-fourths of the money's left over to do something else with. So can somebody tell me exactly where the money goes on this one and why we need this program anymore?
Mr. Chairman, by law, the first $1.3 million, I think, still is, goes to the general fund. Or...
That's correct.
And after that, the money is used for grants to local law enforcement agencies for auto prevention, theft prevention. And over the years, it's like all the other funds. Sometimes people tap it for other purposes. But those are the two main purposes.
We've been, Senator Saxon.
It ran through my committee, and I was satisfied after the fact that the first $1.4 million ended up in the general fund, that it was effectively used.
Mr. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, that, I think your recollections are both wrong. I mean, these funds were agreed upon a few years ago by all the parties to use for what it was meant to use for, not to rate it for the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just talking about the facts. I'm not talking about whether it's a legitimate use of the money or not.
Well, the real thing is we've heard from county attorneys and others that weren't very happy that this fund was raided, and they thought maybe we could get the money back, but apparently we're not going to, so it's not my re-election thing. So
I will say, though, it was not this committee that did the raiding. It was public service, because a few years ago, over in public service, for several years it was public service. I think, last 3 or 4 years it was transferred to commerce, the program was. So they thought this would be a better place to have it.
Representative Gunter. Microphone.
I remember very well talking to Sheriff Stanek about this money. I says, why do we have to continue to do this? And he says, Gunther, shut up. It's kind of typical of him. I didn't get very far with him, but I still don't understand why we have to do it all.
I've heard that they bought a fake car. It's a real car, but it's a car they're trying to get someone to steal so they can catch the car thieves. So that's a little bit different than auto theft prevention. But I guess if you put the car thieves in jail, then they don't steal the cars. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure that if you just lock your car and take your keys, you solve most of the problem. But that's like $4.8 million, right, that we're teaching
Well, I think it's kind of like that TV show. Maybe we should start another TV show and make even more.
What? Cops? Yes.
Cops. Mr. Chairman, I do have a question.
Well, is it for me?
It is for you because it's in the Senate side, but I don't know what kind of money is attached to this particular provision.
Who's our auto theft person?
Mr. Chair and members, the only thing I know is that it doesn't affect that $1.3 million.
So this money is moving out of the account into the insurance fraud prevention account? Is that what it is?
That's my understanding, Mr. Chair and Mr. Soderbergh. But...
So it generates...
what my notes here say that the unused balance goes to the insurance fraud prevention account.
Huh?
I mean, the unused balance goes to the insurance fraud prevention account, and that's...
Mr. Jensen, you know the answer to this?
Mr. Chairman, this provision was heard in the state government division. Maybe the Department of Commerce is here and could help with that answer.
Mr. Chairman.
Walk us through this.
Mr. Chairman, Peter Brickwoody, Director...
Okay, so I pay 50 cents, then what happens?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Peter Brickwoody, Director of Government Affairs...
Actually, $1.50.
...for the Minnesota Department of
and
Commerce.
And that's every six months.
We have had several conversations with you, Mr. Chairman, about the $1.50 that you are paying for the auto theft account. So the language in the Senate bill is a little bit different from the language that Senator Metzen was carrying in his bill that was heard in the Commerce Committee. I believe Representative Paymar was carrying the companion to that bill on the House side. I think the language as we read it, and I would note that the Commerce Department does not have a position on this language, is the operative language is on page R9, the new paragraph C, that at the end of each fiscal year, the commissioner may transfer any unobligated balances in the auto theft prevention account to the insurance fraud prevention account. Our administration of the fund of the auto theft prevention account has been a very strong partnership with local units of government and law enforcement agencies to try to get the money that is collected after the $1.3 million that does get transferred to the general fund off the top each year into the field to those local government partners so that they can use them for auto theft prevention purposes. We are constantly working to try to improve that program, and I can tell you that during the last biennium, the Commerce Department had distributed over $4 million worth of grants to local government units to help in their efforts to combat auto theft prevention, or excuse me, combat auto theft. So I don't know to get to the the question of how if there's a dollar amount attached to this provision. I don't know, and Mr. Jenke, our CFO at Commerce, can back me up on this, but I don't think that there is necessarily a dollar amount attached to it because it depends on whether or not there even are unobligated balances at the end of the year, at the end of the fiscal year, and also whether or not the commissioner decides to make the transfer.
Okay. Yeah.
Just, Mr. Chairman, just to say that, Peter, I think you would agree, it's a little more than locking your doors and taking your keys out of your car. When you hear the testimony in the committees, and at least in the Congress committee that I heard, the county attorneys, the sheriffs, and they were all in saying good things about this program. Is that correct? It's much bigger and deeper and more things going on than a lot of people recognize. That's all I'm going to say, but it's not just locking your doors. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, yes, you were quite correct. The program has very strong support from county attorneys and county sheriffs and local units of government around the state.
I back to our fiscal people. So it doesn't look like there's any money involved here.
Why do it then?
Huh?
The question. When I hear that, I always say, "Why do it then?"
Well, because he wants them to.
So. Well, I would mention to the committee that this is quite a change. The Insurance Fraud Prevention Fund is paid for through an assessment. This would be through an assessment on consumers, I mean, basically, because it's paid for by the consumers, so.
I guess some people would say, what's
the difference, but I think there is a difference.
If I could figure out what to do with the $4.8 million without, I'd get rid of the assessment, but I don't know that we, I think we use it.
No, I'm not saying the program's bad. I'm just saying what this is going to do is funnel money from the program you were talking about to a whole new purpose if they're at the discretion of the commissioner, if there's money to be had.
Correct. At the discretion of the commissioner, if there's any money left over. So you know for sure there won't be any money left over because they'll spend it all. And then the commissioner probably won't transfer it anyway.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Representative Mahoney.
Does the witness know if there was ever any money left over? Does the witness know if there was any money ever left over in this particular account that could have been transferred in a previous year if this law had been changed?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, I would defer to Mr. Janke for the details. There is a carry forward at the end of the fiscal year, usually, particularly at the end of a biennium, in order to cash flow the account across the biennium. And that is to make sure that we don't spend all the way down to zero and then have to wait for payments to come in on a quarterly basis in order to make the next set of disbursements from the account. But perhaps Mr. Janke can describe that in more detail.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, so the way we've been administering it has been to try to spend down to as close to zero as we can with exactly what Mr. Brickweed had talked about, is having some dollars in there for immediately, because normally when we go into the new grant cycle, many of the local units of government want to get some cash flowing right away so that they can begin the program. So there are some funds in there, but I guess from the department's view, we wouldn't view them as unobligated in this fashion, that we would be transferring those to another account.
How you doing, brother?
Mr. Chairman, I would add that is quite correct, that I don't think that we would view those funds as quote-unquote unobligated.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, just a sidebar comment, Mr. Chairman and members, that Senator Representative Atkins, Abler, and Kosalka and I and some others are planning on setting up a group, I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, over the summer to look at all of this no fault and fraud stuff. It's estimated that fraud costs every homeowner $1,000 a year on their premiums just from fraud. So we want to kind of pull everybody together, all the players, and see if there's ways to tackle this issue and get at fraud. So that's part of, well, not part of this, but I just wanted the members to know that we are very, very serious about all of this fraud area, and we want to get together the players this summer and come back with some strong recommendations to the House and the Senate. So.
Okay, thank you. I think we spent enough time on that. Okay, let's go to the next section. Section 8, I think, is the next section.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, I think the remainder, the document, is all Senate-only provisions. Section 8 is a provision on revenue allocation among consumer classes applying to investor-owned electric utilities, and I believe this was a Senator Saxhog bill. On page R10, the remaining sections, I believe, are all dealing with made in Minnesota solar energy production incentive account and the production incentive. So we will go through page R10, R11, R12, 13, all made in Minnesota solar energy production incentive, R14, R15, R16, and 17. And then there are a couple of studies, section 21, that's also with the made in Minnesota provisions, and R17. Continuing over to R18, and that's the contents of these articles.
Okay. Any questions? You have one more article 7.
Mr. Chair and members, article 7 is another article dealing primarily with commerce and related issues. Section 1 dealing with fees charged by the Department of Commerce is identical in both bills. It increases a fee from $10 to $30. That's a fee that insurance companies have to pay when they file something with the Department of Commerce saying that a particular person is their agent. So it's an agent appointment fee. Section 2 on the House side.
Mr. Pender, just go back. So is it the company that pays the increase, or is it the agent that pays the increase?
I think that it's, if I remember correctly, I think some companies do it one way and some do it the other way. On page R2, section 2, this is again the bullion coin dealers item that is pending, is related to legislation pending in both the House and the Senate. Section 3 on the House side is the fiber collaboration database, and the Senate has no similar provision. This involves requiring that construction projects notify the Department of Transportation ahead of time so that if they want to install fibers to carry signals, that can be done while the construction is underway and not have to do a separate digging process to accomplish that. Section 4, this is in page R3, section 4 of the House and section 14 of the Senate are identical, except they differ in who has to do the report. The House version says the Commissioner of Commerce has to do the report, and the Senate version says the Office of Broadband Development has to do the report. Other than that, they're identical. Section 5 in the House and Section 17 in the Senate are identical, except for some very minor differences in terms of how the section is structured, but the content is the same. And section 6 in the House is on page R6, has a broadband infrastructure development provision, and the Senate doesn't have any equivalent language. Section 7, we're now at the bottom of page R7. Section 7 in the House and Section 18 in the Senate involve the petroleum inspection fee, and they differ in the amount that they increase the fee to. The Senate increases the fee by a larger amount, and also the Senate specifies at the end that of the 93 cents appropriated, that at least 5% should be used to make grants to providers of low-income weatherization services. Starting at the bottom of page R7, section 8, section 8 in the House and section 5 in the Senate are identical, and these sections and the sections that follow are all related to contracts for deed, and so they're real estate related sections, and they are identical except for three things. On the Senate side, on page R10, the Senate has a on line 173.29. Advises people to go to a website for advice, and if you look right over to the left, the House is identical except it doesn't have the reference to the website. And then at the top of page R11, on the Senate side. The Senate has further advice for someone that's in trouble with a contract for deed that they should call the Department of Commerce to ensure that the interest rate at which they're buying the property doesn't exceed the maximum allowed by law. And then also then a related thing at the very end on page R13, there's a repealer section 14, and that repeals a provision related to contracts for deed that currently involves the possibility of a criminal prosecution for someone who fails to record their contract for deed within 14 days after they got it. And the proposal here is to repeal it. And there's that repealer is in a completely different article in the Senate. It's in Senate Article 8 on page R22, but the repealer is the same. R22. And then there's the only other thing here then is the on page R12 on the House side, there's again a reference to unclaimed extra money for unclaimed property, then we have Senate starting at the bottom of page R12. We have Senate 13 and or Senate House 13 and Senate 19 dealing with a broadband strategy report, and this is an uncoded section, and they are very similar, except the Senate has a couple of technical changes that I think are desirable, the House adds an effective date at the end of that section, which the Senate doesn't add. So that completes this this article.
Okay. Any questions on this article? Representative Mahoney and I both heard you say something about a repealer that's in another, that's on a page R22. Is it in another article of this bill? Is that what?
Yes. That is in. Senate Article 8, page R22. It's line 176.31.
What does the repealer remind me again what the repealer was?
It repeals a current law that faces people who buy on a contract for deed with the prospect of being prosecuted criminally for failure to record the contract for deed in the office of the county recorder or county registrar of titles. And it's still not a good thing to not record your contract for deed, but it's not the recommendation is to take away the possibility of a criminal penalty, which I've never heard of being used.
And that's an article, Mr. Chair.
Senator Mahoney.
Article 8, page R22.
It's Mr. Chair. If you look at it, was Article 5 on the House side, and it was Article 8 on the Senate side. And then
on which page?
It's on R22, and if it's at the end of those repeal of the Science and Technology Authority.
We're having trouble finding an R22. Which one of these articles?
If you look at Article 5 of on the House, I think that's how it should be tabbed. Article 5.
This tab though.
Yeah, I think
Article 5, then, okay. And then go to R22.
Article 5 and Article 8.
Ah.
And okay. Page 22.
Yep, and it's on line 176.31. It was included with the repealers on the science and technology. We just put it in a different article in the Senate.
Okay. Senator Westrom.
If it gives you any comfort, I would think that's not a bad repealer. No sense filling our jails up with these scary or people that buy a house and don't record it in the courthouse. It's their loss, frankly, if they don't record it. I mean, they could potentially lose some interest, but it seems like it would be a reasonable thing to repeal. Mr. Pender, I think there's also a statute that requires in 4 months to record. That's more of a civil civil situation, or is this the same cross-reference on that issue?
Well, you're correct that it's a civil matter, the 4 months. You're right.
Okay. I think the way we should proceed, if it's okay with everybody, is everything in front of us on this seems and similar is not related to money, right? It's related to policy. And
that's correct, Mr. Chair.
So if we were to adopt the same, we would go back and start discussing the similars so that we can get through the similars that are very close to the same. We might get a lot of language out of the way today. So does that work for everybody? So Senator Metzen would move the...
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I would mention that on page 3...
of this?
Yes.
Yep, of the same and similars. Okay. It shows same. R7, Section 7 under Article 7-8.
Uh-huh.
Actually, that is related to the petroleum and inspection fee, but there are some differences in that the Senate increases the fee and then pays for the weatherization program. So that is an appropriation or a fiscal-related question.
I saw that.
You're gonna have to pay.
Well, and then on the next line, R7 through R8, it says same, adds identical language relating to recording for contracts for deeds. Is that not exactly the same then? Is that what that means?
Not sure where you're at.
Mr. Pender?
I forget who's chairing today, but Senator Tomasoni or Mr.
Enough.
Chair. That is the same.
It is the same. Okay. Just explaining what it does. Okay. So if we make a motion to adopt the same, we should leave out that R7 on page 3. Are there any others similar to that we should leave out or... on our same motion?
Chairman, that would be my motion to delete the one we're talking about on R7, page 3.
All right, then. Senator Metzen moves that we adopt the same language that's on the same and similar sheet from May 7, 2013 at 1:01 p.m. With the caveat that if any of these sames are not the same, we come back and fix them. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. Why don't we just start in the beginning with the similars and discuss them, and if we can fix them while we're here, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, did you just adopt... Mr. Chair, just for staff clarification, did you just adopt all the sames or just the commerce sames?
All the sames on this.
Of everything.
And yes, except for the R7 on page 3. And is my understanding everything else is the same, correct, Mr. Pender?
Mr. Chair, on the R3, notice it says same except for which agency has to do the report. So that really should have been similar, I'd say, instead of same.
Okay, so
it's because one bill says the Department of Commerce does it, and another bill, the Senate bill, said someone else does it. So
how about if we go right to that section of the bill right now and see if we can make a decision and adopt and make. So what page is it on?
R3.
R3 of Article 7?
Yes.
R3 of Article 7.
Representative Johnson has done a lot of work on this.
On the broadband?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
So you know what we're doing here?
Yeah, more or less. With respect to the reporting of the achievement of the goals for broadband, which are in state statute, it seemed like it would make most sense to have the Office of Broadband Development do the report, since they're going to be the folks in charge of
and what
strategizing and following them.
Okay, so what's the difference now between the two? We have the Department of Commerce.
One says the Commissioner of Commerce.
And one says
the... One says the...
Mr. Cromwitty.
Mr. Chairman, again, Peter Brickwitty from the Department of Commerce. Mr. Chairman and Representative Johnson, you know, this was your bill in the House, and I think just for members' clarification, the Office of Broadband Development in both bills is created at the Department of Commerce, and so I don't know if we necessarily have a preference one way or another over which side of the side-by-side you were to adopt. I would just say, though, generally speaking, it's easier for us if we say the Commissioner of Commerce as a general rule, simply because if, you know, the office's name were to ever change or something, that would be, we would retain that reporting requirement at the department as a whole, as opposed to just a specific portion of the department. But I don't think it makes a material difference to us one way or another. We would still be doing the reporting.
Let me ask a technical question here. Did we technically adopt the R3 since it's, even though it says same, it says except for? So did we not really adopt it in the sames, or did we adopt it in the sames? Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair, I think that the motion was to adopt all the sames, and I guess I would interpret that as adopting the ones that use the word same. And so I would say you probably adopted it and should not
have. Yes, Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, we need to slow this thing down just a little bit.
I think
because
so.
Because on page 2, the R1516, the film production job program is similar, but the dollar figures are different. And the job placement impact on program review, I think, is the same issue. And then you've got a couple of them in here that are have dollar figures attached to them. So does that mean we're going to fund them at the dollar figures that they are in the bill?
Right. Well, I was of the impression that this was all policy with no dollars attached. So
yeah, I think we had the wrong impression.
All right. So let's Senator Metzen moves to how do you undo it? Reconsider the motion of the sames on May 7, 2013 at 1:07 p.m. And so all those in favor of reconsidering the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. How about if we go through the sames one at a time and somebody tell us if there's any fiscal impact and if they're actually the same, okay? Okay, so let's start on... page 1 at the top where it says R2, R4,
actually just do that difference because it was except for some differences in section 35 and 36. I don't think there's a whole lot of differences.
All right, so let's skip that one. Let's go to R2, section 2. That one is the same, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct. That one is the same.
It's a real same?
It's okay. Really the same.
Real same and no money.
Really the same.
So Representative Mahoney moves the same on R2, section 2, lines 18.35 to lines 19.18. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Wait a minute. I got to do this differently. I got to move either the House language or the Senate language, right?
You said the House language.
I just called out the House language. Okay, so we'll call it the House language. Section 2 of the House language on R2. Representative Mahoney moves section 2. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. What's the next same? The next same is on R16, R22, R27.
Is that really the same?
That's it.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm looking now.
Give staff just a minute to check and make sure it's all the same.
All the agency.
This is R16.
I'm sure that this is the same. I would have put down if there was something different.
And there's no fiscal impact?
Mr. Chair, I know that within the Dolly Bill there are some new fees that are instituted. So, let's see, we're looking at... R26 and R27. These are the new plumbing fees.
Is that where they have the stylistic language difference?
No, there's no difference. I just, Mr. Chair, this would just be relating to whether or not it had a fiscal impact, and I'm not sure Mr. Jensen would. Is this?
Senator Westrom.
Maybe staff, the new fees, what are they? Can you just give us a quick overview of them?
Mr. Chairman and members, the fees are in the Department of Labor and Industry. They have to do with the plumbing. And these are a special revenue fee. The fees go into a special revenue account. It's the building code fund, and it can only be used for regulation of the plumbing industry. And I think what it is that they're changing the way by fixture that they assess the fees. They're going more to a, it used to be that they had these large blocks, like 1 to 5 would be a certain amount, and maybe 5 to 10 fixtures that are being, and this is smoothing out that trend line, so it's more so much per fixture as opposed to these large blocks, and it to determine the fees. And so that's the gist of what the change is.
Chairman, it's been agreed upon.
Senator Weston, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
Actually, I think that was the bill that I carried, and Mr. Soderberg had it pretty close to correct. There's plan review monies that you could get an accelerated plan review. They've eliminated that because they are now getting all of their plans done in 15 to 30 days. In the past, you had plumbing fees that had it climbed a little bit and then plateaued for a significant number of plumbing fixtures or any number of different things in here. It has a straight line elevation rather than a climb and a plateau, a climb and a plateau. The same as what they've done in many of their particular fees that they charge. And what that changes is that a lot of the, when you paid the fee as a putting in one or two fixtures, you were subsidizing the building that was putting in 25 or 125 fixtures. So what this is doing is if you're paying the correct amount for as many fixtures as you're putting in rather than being subsidized by smaller operations. It's actually a small consumer.
So in essence, Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, the smaller projects will pay slightly less. The larger projects, depending upon where they fit in the block, might pay a little more, but it's per fixture.
Correct.
Averaged out. The intention is not to raise revenue beyond what they've already had. It's just leveling it out mostly.
That is correct.
Mr. Chairman, the revenue numbers are exactly the same for the House and Senate.
You can move that then, Karen.
Well, Mr. Chair, and then with that block of from the, this is the governor's bill from that block, I think then there's also the combative sports, some fee increases. And I don't know then if that would also have a fiscal impact or not. I think that's just all going to the costs of the office.
Section 23.
That's section. That's on page R34, section 43 and 26. So I don't know if that has a fiscal impact then.
Article is in.
We're in
Article 2.
Article 2.
Article 2.
Page R34. These are the combative sports office license fee increases.
So we've got on this labor on this particular same, then we've got same's on R16, R22 through R27, and then R34. And those same's are for the Dolly agency, and they do not have a fiscal impact. They may have some fees, but everything is the same in those. Is that correct?
Yeah, these particular fees are, again, a special revenue fee. They're not the general fund fee, and they're only going to support the Office of Combating Sports, which was under recovery for the cost of the office, and it just increases the fee to try and get it to be self-supporting.
Carried that. Sparks moves the Senate language on section 16 through 18, 23 through 25, and 26. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion adopted.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was going to say, with if we want to stay in that article, if we want to stay in that article,
yes, we do.
I would suggest, at least with the, I believe with the Dolly housekeeping bill, that Senate File 656, that the changes on the House, I think we had talked about that those were very minor and stylistic, and I think it was sections 35 and 36 on the House side. Let's see what pages those are on. On page R28 is section 35. And that lines 43.21 and 43.22. Again, I was comparing the bill from the Senate, the Senate file 656. And on 43.21, a person was, on the Senate side, a person was deleted and an individual was inserted. And then on 43.22, and included was deleted and or was inserted. So I don't know. I'm not sure if it was changed on the House or Senate side. I don't know which one was as introduced.
Mr. Chair and members, the House, however, has that extra language in that paragraph on lines 43.25 to 43.26, which does make a change in, it specifies that for the purposes of the contractor recovery fund and recovering from that, an owner is not a person or an individual using or intending to use the property for business or not both owner occupied. So I don't know if the Senate has that somewhere, but that is a change.
That's Representative Mullery. Representative Mullery worked with the department to put that in and worked quite a while to get that actually, that language massaged so that it did not exclude people.
Do we need anybody to explain this to us, or? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, let's just have the department give us some explanation.
Great, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Again, my name is Jessica Lumen. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Labor and Industry. I have your other answer as well, so if I can do both of these really quick. This language is specifically related to the Contractor Recovery Fund, which is a fund that's specifically set up to reimburse homeowners who have been injured and financially injured by the fraud or deception of a licensed residential contractor. This language specifically identifies that this, the purpose of and the intent of this program is to help those people who are homeowners, not those who are using these residential properties for business purposes. And so the language that you have in the House version is the language that the department worked on with Representative Mullery and is the language that we would recommend.
This Senate file 656 takes in a whole bunch of pages. I'm going back to the beginning of this article. And so are we saying that 656 is basically the same?
That, Mr. Chair, that is correct, just except for these two sections have some changes on the House side. Otherwise, it's identical.
And are the changes significant, or are they minor? This one is one we want to do, so then what's another one then?
Mr. Chairman, maybe Senate Counsel can reconfirm which the other one you were talking about, so we're on the same page.
Mr. Chair, then I think it's the next section, page R29. Section 36, and it changes some, put some clause numbers in one and two, and I don't know if it's substantive. The other changes.
What line are you on?
I'm sorry, I am on. At the bottom of page R29. Line 44.28 through the end, and I don't know if your copy has some cutoff. Does it?
No.
Okay.
Pretty much got it there.
Mine has 36 cutoff, but go ahead.
Well, the Senate version just it kind of splits out the. I know you don't have the language in front of you. I'm sorry. I don't think it's substantive, and I don't know who changed. If it was changed in the House to make it easier to understand or not, and I don't know if the department could comment on the change.
Do you have line 36? Does anyone have in the?
I got a line 44.35, but not a line 44.36. It looks like it's cut
off. Mr. Chair and members, the language that is cut off of this is basically the last piece is that if the person is selling homes in a park he or she owns, that's the other criteria. And this came in as an amendment from the Manufactured Housing Association to the Bill and Jobs Committee.
Okay, so go ahead, Ms.
Mr. Chairman, members, the differences between the House and the Senate are just stylistic, and the House version. And the House version was designed to make it a little bit clearer how to delineate between the two sections.
So, Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Luman, back to your statement. This dealing with the contractor recovery fund, we are now limiting who can recover to just an actual homeowner. And prior to this clarification or description, other persons could get recovered. Let's just say somebody was building a storage shed on a bare lot they had next door to their house. That wouldn't count. Or if a business owner was having somebody fix up a property or working on a duplex, that wouldn't count. I'm just wondering, are we making that big of a deviation, or we're just clarifying what's already been practiced?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Senator, this is a clarification. We administer this program for the industry. The department is the administrator, if you will, and there are limited funds in this program, and we're charged with making sure that those who apply to the program, that there are resources available for them in the event that they've been harmed by a licensed residential contractor. This is a clarification of who is eligible for funds under this program. It is the manner in which we have been administering this program, but it is a clarifying language. It does not change, to your point, it does not change the whether or not a type of property, whether it be a shed, qualifies as residential construction or not. Whether it qualifies as residential construction or not has not changed. This merely identifies that the purpose of and the intent of this fund is to reimburse homeowners who are using it as residential property.
I see.
So,
Mr. Chair, that residential property is different from homestead property. Residential meaning that they were using it for living.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yes.
So it could be a person that owns five other duplexes, but being they were those duplexes would be considered residential property, or even a 12-plex apartment building.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, the Contractor Recovery Fund currently allows for condominium associations and homeowners of condos and lessees of properties to make claims against the Contractor Recovery Fund.
Okay. I think that answered. I had the homestead in my mind. You said residential. That clarified it for me. Thank you.
So, Senator Sparks, you have Senate File 656. Is that correct? And are you comfortable with the House language that's in this bill? It's on several pages where Senate File 656 is referenced. And I'm hearing that they're the same, except for some stylistic differences. And so if we were to adopt all the language on the House side that is referenced on Senate File 656 on the Senate side, we would be doing page R2, R4, R5, R6, R7,
R18, Mr. Chair, will be the next section.
R18, Art 23. All of them?
No, Art, Mr. Chair, Art 28 to 34. And then R 39, there's one more provision.
And there's no fiscal impact in any of that? Anybody know if there's any fiscal impact on that?
Would you stop that?
For 38.
Senator Sparks, is any fiscal? Top of your head.
I don't believe there is, Mr. Chair, other than the fees that they talked about.
Okay, so then Senator Sparks will move the House language that is applicable to Senate File 656. And can staff follow that without any problem? Okay. Then all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. We want a break for tea.
You got to get a cup of coffee before session.
Coffee before session, and then we got to come back again at 4.
Mr. Chair, we could do that elevator industry licensing structure fast,
you
I think.
You guys are pushing us, huh?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Let's get the elevator done.
Okay.
Well, let's see. That starts on R3, and there are a number of sections, and the Senate passed this after the House, and I got a few revisions that are just two small differences that I got from the proponents of the bill, and those are on lines 141 on the Senate side. That is on page R15.
Section what?
Well, it's on page R15 of that same article we've been handling. It's on the Senate side, 141.35. Just adding to the journeyman elevator constructor and limited journeyman elevator constructor. Just adding some clarifying to include the limited journeyman elevator constructor. And then the other difference is on page R21. And it is on line 147.33 to 34, and it just adds at the end while performing elevator work to companies that need to be and their employees that need to be licensed doing these activities while performing elevator work or shall not be required to hold or obtain licenses if they're doing this activities.
So
I think that's the electrical license.
Yeah, that's the electrical.
326B
electrical
is the electrical
act.
License. So, yeah.
So we would take the Senate language on the elevator.
Correct, Mr.
And
Chair.
Do you have sections for me to cite? Or?
Mr. Chair, they should be on that page one there. Sections.
Sections 2, 3 through 16 and 19 through 22?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Then Representative Mahoney moves the Senate language. Article 2, Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, I'm just going to, this is all the same. Is there any, these are elevators like in an apartment building or shopping centers? That's what we're talking about here. The reason I ask, there was something I thought to do with some small facilities or churches or grain elevators or something, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I just want to make sure that kind of all got worked out.
Mr. Chair and Representative Westrum, there is language that was from the governor's bill on vertical reciprocating elevators that's in here, and that is... I'm looking for that.
Mr. Chair, it's on R17.
Mr. Rakowski, are you there for a reason?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
For the benefit of the members who weren't around a few years ago, Senator Westrom's referring to some elevator legislation from about 4 or 5 years ago that separated out our inspection schedule from an annual to biannual, triannual to he's referring to church elevators, for example, that are only used on Sunday mornings, not part of a school there. That language that he's referring to dealt with when we do the inspections. This deals with who does the inspections. Okay. So that doesn't change Senator Westrom.
Very good. I remember Senator Skoy having some interest in this
yes.
topic, and I just...
That's
okay.
correct.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Witkowski.
Okay. Then, Ms. Lumen? Oh, you look like you wanted to say something. Okay. All right. Representative Mahoney renews his motion to accept the Senate language in Article 2, Sections 2, 3 through 16, and 19 through 22. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion is adopted. Okay. Good work, team. We'll get back to this then, I guess, whenever you want to.
About
8:35. But since I have the gavel,
we all get to go, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
we all get to go.
You can all come back here at 8:35 if you'd like. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if you got a time thought. I guess you can just contact us on when we do. If you want to come back tomorrow, if you don't, that's another issue, so we can get out later as well. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. So, okay, then since we don't exactly know what we're doing tomorrow, meeting adjourned.
Please watch your email.